Good morning and welcome to Your Voice Matters. I'm Arch Hunter, the host of the program. Your Voice Matters is a program that discusses the political issues going on in our country. And today we want to welcome as our guest, Jane Taylor Toll. So Jane, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Arch. Thanks for having me.
And Tip O'Neill said that all politics are local, and Jane has been actively involved in politics in our local area for many, many years. So I've asked her to come in and share with the listeners what she has been doing over the years and her political activity. But Jane, before we do that, would you share with our listeners a little bit of your background and introduce yourself to our listeners, please?
Okay, again, thanks for having me. My name is Jane Taylor Toll. And my whole life I've been interested in politics and current events. And I mainly started out as being interested in something national, federal. And over the years, I came to realize, Arch, that everything actually begins local. We can make a difference at the local level. So I was talking with friends and family. What can we do? I volunteered over the years for two different organizations, and I've learned a lot from those two. And I said, well, I can do this myself. Let me take it a bit further and concentrate something on the more local level, community activism, political activism at the local level. So after a few weeks of discussing this and praying, of course, God led me and some family members and friends to come up with the idea of a grassroots organization, and we called it Citizens for Liberty.
And Jane, where were you raised?
I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, so I'm a Georgia peach. But at 8 years old, I came to live in Phoenixville. And my hometown, I would say, is Phoenixville. I went to schools there. I graduated from Phoenixville High School. And I started my career in marketing research and worked my way up from the ground to be a supervisor and marketing research analyst. And I was working 6-7 days a week, and I absolutely loved it. So work is nothing new, nothing strange to me. I just gave my all into marketing research, and I worked with top manufacturers from all around the country, some from even around the world.
And when you began to get politically active, well, you said on the federal level?
Yes, I began with federal and national interests.
Could you share with us on the federal level who you were actively campaigning for or what you were doing on the federal level? And then we'll bring it back to the local.
Correct. Citizens for Liberty was actually getting involved in the Mitt Romney campaign, and we held phone banks and we door knocked and made phone calls. And when Obama was in office, we really dove full throttle into that. And that really got us going with things on his agenda that we thought were wrong. We thought it was leading our country to socialism. And Citizens for Liberty really soared and took off during his administration. That's when the Tea Party came to be in approximately 2008/2009. And we just wanted to soar from there and share with everybody what we can do, what people can do at a local level, as well as national, because like I said, we were national and federal then.
We don't hear much about the Tea Party for the past few years. Is it still in existence or strong?
Actually, the Tea Party now is not what they used to be. And all I could say is that it breaks my heart, Arch, to see how the Tea Party has become establishment. And it started out as grassroots. Mm-hmm. We were for free thinking, individual liberty, and it just fell into the political swamp, basically. So the Tea Party now is more or less a bad word. And I tried to bring it back to its roots, but it seems like people lost their sights of individualism and free thinking. So right now, there basically is no Tea Party.
And why do you think that? I can remember them being so strong and so vocal, particularly through President Obama's first administration.
Exactly.
What do you think? Why has it now come to the place where it is now, where you don't hear anything about the Tea Party any longer?
You don't hear about it. And some people actually say Tea Party is a bad word. No. Don't talk about it. You will be ostracized. But I've come to realize over the years and all of my seminars, classes, meetings that I have held that the people that were true grassroots Tea Party are not anymore. It's easier for them to go along with the status quo. And in a nutshell, that's why.
I remember, Jane, during President Reagan's presidency, that a lot of conservatives were extremely excited, thinking that they would have the White House for 20 years with the popularity of Ronald Reagan and his conservatism. And they realized quickly, as I believe, share with us if this is correct, that we had to understand in conservatives that it had to be grassroots up, not the White House down.
Exactly. And now it seems kind of the opposite, but it had to be grassroots. Mm-hmm. We can knock on our next door neighbor's door. We can knock on our state senators or our representatives' door and say, hey, I don't like this, that, or the other thing. But we can't do that at the White House. Excuse me, President Trump, I don't like this, that, or the other thing. But we can do that locally. And everything was grassroots. But over the years, people got complacent. That's the word I use. I don't like that word, but people got complacent. Yeah. They got lazy. They weren't following God and the Bible also. And it just led them into the political swamp. And it was just much easier to go with the establishment, whatever the party bosses say, okay, well, I'll do that. It's much easier. I don't have to do any work. What happened to work? What happened to your hardworking ethics?
We're talking about a different generation.
Absolutely. And that's another reason.
Yeah.
But we won't go there right now.
And in your opinion, where do you see the Republican Party today?
Well, the Republican Party is totally divided. Totally. And it was a lot of grassroots. It really was. But like how I was explaining about the establishment and the swamp, it's totally divided. It's us versus them. It really is. And I think it's going to take a lot of prayers and a lot of work to come to be the party we once were. And I always say, well, George Washington, in his farewell address, did warn us about political parties, mm-hmm. how it would divide people. And, you know, Archie was right.
Yeah, he called it factions.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's going to cause factions. And now we see factions within each party. Well, I would say at least in the Republican Party.
Yes.
It certainly doesn't look like there's much faction in the Democratic Party today.
You know, the Democrats will campaign, obviously, against each other. But bottom line, they'll stick together.
Yes.
The Republicans obviously will campaign against each other because said person wants to win that particular seat, but they won't stick together for the most part. They will go at each other tooth and nail, and if one wins, say, the primary, the other won't support them, and it's ugly. The Republican Party of today is ugly.
In your opinion, do you think that that is one of the reasons that President Trump not only won the nomination, but won the presidency? Because he seems to be a person that will fight for a point of view.
He does, yes. And that's why people voted for him. He was an outsider. He ran as an anti-establishment candidate. And people thought, wow, this is something different. Let's hop on board and see what this is all about. And some people have stayed there, but others still who have voted for the president have just fallen away from his original stance of being anti-establishment because they don't want to put any work and effort into mm-hmm. it. Yep. Very sad.
Let's continue on with your efforts in your organization over the years. What a lot of things that your organization has done to promote the conservatism on a local level.
Well, like I said, we started out national and federal. We held bus trips to D.C. And in October of 2013, when the Obama administration closed down the government, well, Citizens for Liberty held the largest rally Pennsylvania will ever see. We had over 1,000 people come from 5 different states to take back Valley Forge National Historical Park. So we broke the invisible barriers, and that's when we really got rocking and rolling, Arch. That gave us national and international press coverage, and all of the news stations, even locally, had carried it for several weeks. And we continue to promote things federally, and we gave United Nations presentations, how America was slowly becoming the North American Union. And then, like I said, we eased into local levels and more community political activism locally, because, like I said, we can make a difference. One person can make a difference grassroots. We can knock on that politician's door, the candidate running. We can lit drop at their homes and all around their neighborhoods, let people know what they're like. Or if we don't like them, we can lit drop for their opponents' candidates and let them see what their opponent is like. So Citizens for Liberty had teams that would literally walk sometimes every day, but usually weekends, Arch, from Philadelphia across to Pittsburgh, campaigning for people. We lit dropped. We got petitions signed and put them on politicians' offices in the Capitol building itself. We just shared information. We just knocked on everybody's door. We knocked on politicians' doors. If they weren't doing something we liked, usually the wife would answer. And for the most part, 99% of the time, they would not come to the door. And I even had one of the wives say, well, we don't talk about his business, but I'm ashamed of my husband. And we let her know, without any names being mentioned, it was out in Western Pennsylvania, this is what your husband's doing. Talk to him. This isn't right. And we literally explained everything to her. But we just lit dropped, like I said, knocked on doors, put out millions of signs for people running for political office. I mean, I still have blisters on my hands from all the signs that we put out over the years as a figure of speech. And we just shared and held classes, seminars. We held Meet the Candidates several times a year and literally invited candidates running for every different office in Pennsylvania to our meetings. And the majority of the meetings were held in King of Prussia because we figured that's a hub. Because we had people coming from across the Commonwealth. But everybody knows the largest mall in America, King of Prussia. And we said, make a day out of it or an evening. Everybody knows where King of Prussia is. So we kind of based our so-called headquarters out of KOP.
Jane, you mentioned two things that just rankle my hair on the back of my neck is President Obama and the King of Prussia Mall. I want to go back because you reminded me of this, because I hear oftentimes people extolling the presidency of President Obama. And I remember when he shut the government down, the first thing that he put the fences around was the World War II Memorial in Washington, because the World War II veterans were coming there. And I thought that was such a despicable act of
Socialism
that he did that. So it just reminded me of that when you said that you broke the invisible fence around Valley Forge Park.
And Homeland Security was there watching us, but they were fine. Everybody conducted themselves well. We had our own security. We always have over the years, and we never encountered a problem. And just to shut that down in D.C., what a disgrace.
Particularly when the veterans were coming there. In two or three days, they were coming here by the busloads to see that.
It was done purposely.
Absolutely.
So we figured, what can we do here? What can we do in Pennsylvania at a local level? And bingo. We had, like I said, over 1,000 people. We had people bring their horses decorated in red, white, and blue. We had duck boats come with military veterans on them. We had motorcycle clubs come, and we had speakers across from the Memorial Chapel. And then we actually walked, many barefoot, portraying how the soldiers were during the encampment in Valley Forge during the winter. Many walked barefoot a mile to the visitor center. And we actually, for the first time in Valley Forge National Historical Park, we raised the Gadsden flag.
Wow.
Because we were Tea Party then.
Right. Right.
And now when you see the Gadsden flag, if you ever do, it might be, dare I say, the white nationalist or groups that we don't want that flag associated with.
Right. And the other party will quickly associate any conservative group with some sort of a white nationalist group or a racist group or a homophobic view or anti-immigrant view, you know, group. And we're quickly denigrated to that.
Yes. So, all it takes is one person. Mm-hmm. And I've taught over the years, it's a domino effect. If you do something, there's always a follower. And Citizens for Liberty Arts tried to create leaders, because good leaders create other leaders.
Right. Absolutely. My relative, Jane, is a local district judge. And one of the townships that he represents is a very conservative township. And he was given another township to represent that was predominantly very Democrat.
Mm.
And he had to go door to door to door. I'm getting around to my question for you. And he had to go door to door. And he was the candidate from the Republican Party as a district judge that went door to door. He got 93% of the Democratic vote in that township because he went door to door.
Exactly. Door knocking wins campaigns. We see signs everywhere. Sure, it's fun putting out signs. Put them on your opponent's corner, at their mother-in-law's homes outside, you know, of their neighborhood or whatnot. It's fun. But door knocking wins campaigns. People want that personal one-on-one contact. And if anything would work, that does.
Your background, have you always been a conservative, or had your ideas and opinions and beliefs changed over the years?
Actually, for 1 year when I first registered to vote, I was an independent, because I didn't want the government to know who I was voting for. I said it was none of their business. But then I saw who was running for different offices. And because we have closed primaries, and we could get into that later if you want.
Please.
I had to register either Republican or Democrat. And of course, I don't like the Democrat agenda. So I registered a Republican. But this day, today, July 3rd, 2019, I call myself a Christian constitutionalist conservative. There's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, there is. So again, did you grow up with a conservative viewpoint, or has it evolved over the years to a conservative viewpoint?
I actually grew up in a conservative home with a conservative viewpoint. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm asking that, because I grew up in a very conservative home, and I became a very liberal Democrat.
I hear that quite often.
For several years, and then evolved away from a liberal viewpoint back to a very conservative viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very common, actually. I hear that quite often, but I did grow up in a conservative household.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think that oftentimes people in their youth, and I mean late teenagers, early 20s, have a viewpoint that they evolve, a lot of them evolve away from over a period of time?
A lot of youth are indoctrinated, of course, which we all know, and they're just groomed into thinking they have to be liberal. They have to join the Democrat Party. Heaven help those evil, pesky Republicans. Oh my goodness, you can never be a Republican. Don't you want to help the poor people? Well, sure I do. Well, you know, the Republicans help the poor people more than the liberals do when it comes down to it. And the more their eyes are opened, and it takes a long time to plant seeds in some of people's minds, but the more their eyes are opened, hey, maybe the good old boys party isn't good old boys anymore. Maybe I'll join that and see what that's about. But they're so brainwashed in school that they have to be in the Democrat Party or they will be ostracized. And thank goodness for the walkaway campaign.
As an educator, Jane, I've seen many, many, many students come back to visit me after high school when they've been in college. And I've seen the indoctrination that they get on the college level, predominantly from a very liberal viewpoint.
Absolutely.
And my encouragement to conservatives who want to go into education, we need you in education. We need to fight back on that level, because so many of our kids in colleges have been indoctrinated to a certain viewpoint.
Absolutely. And if they don't follow that, they feel guilty.
Right.
They're shamed. Like, how dare you not do this, that, or the other thing, whatever the hot topic may be at that particular time. How dare you not do this, or how dare you say that? And like I said, we started our organization with free thinkers. and they don't want that. Those educators, I mean, certain ones do, of course, but the majority do not. They want you to follow their agenda. And if you don't, they'll shun you.
Do you remember, I think it was probably 3 years ago now, the Indiana University, Pennsylvania student that was thrown out of his class, and Tucker Carlson had him on his show.
Yes.
He was thrown out of his class because of his conservative viewpoint and trying to communicate that to the professor. And eventually IUP had to back away from it and apologize to the student, and the professor had to apologize to the student. My son was in that class.
Wow.
And he collaborates everything that that student was talking about in his class. And again, it's the illustration of how indoctrinated our kids are in so many colleges with a very liberal viewpoint.
Very liberal. And that's wonderful because he was there firsthand.
Yes.
To see and to hear everything going on. But now in the colleges and even in elementary school now, kindergarten, Arch, they're promoting these other agendas, the LGBTQWXYZ agendas. That's a personal preference. How is that an agenda? But yet they're deleting history. They are totally deleting history that doesn't fit their so-called agenda. I mean, what are our children learning? What are they going to become? That's our future.
So as we fight back from those different viewpoints, and I don't mean physically fight back,
right,
but idea-wise, you come back to your politics is on a local level and how we need to get conservatives in our legislatures, in our states, and Congress, and the White House. That is so important for us. But we have to realize that it's not just there. Is we have to grab the minds of the youth.
Absolutely. They're our future. And there's a lot of wonderful, wonderful youth, don't get me wrong. But the majority are just totally brainwashed. And I go out to different events. There's 11-year-olds coming up and cursing you out. And you say something to the parents and they'll even be worse. And they don't care. They just don't care. And it all starts at the home and in the church. It's like, what are these children learning? Basically, they're learning hate. What about hate has no home here?
Mm-hmm.
They are the biggest haters, Arch. They really, really are. And it's very hypocritical.
And we see that where conservatives' voices on college campuses, where they come in for a lecture, has been shut down.
Yep.
How they've been treated. We see how the press person out in, my mind just went blank, out in Portland, Oregon, how he was treated this past weekend.
Yes.
Particularly only because he's a conservative.
Absolutely.
So we're in a battle.
We're in a battle.
And we're in
conservatism is in a battle. And we need to bring it back to its roots. And it's people talking to people, working together. George Washington, also talking about him earlier, told us we can't be a government without incorporating the Bible into it. And heaven forbid you talk about the Bible in public or take it to school. Well, these children, some of them are actually bringing the Bible and standing around the flagpole with it and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And that's a disgrace. They can't do that.
You know, one of our founding fathers said, Jane, that an amoral society will lose its democratic republic.
Mm-hmm.
That was Thomas Jefferson who said that. And we're seeing that.
Mm-hmm. We are.
How did your organization that you went door to door, how were you able to support the organization and get information on candidates to be able to share with neighbors and neighborhoods?
Well, getting the candidates was easy. Basically, they knew how big we grew and how hard we worked. So basically, they came to us. And the ones that didn't, obviously, we reached out to them. So that was pretty easy. And we got all of their literature, and some new people that didn't have literature, print up a flyer and, you know, run off a few hundred copies. We'll hand flyers out. And it's all about talking to people and communicating to them and making them see, hey, this is a real person. It's just not somebody's name on a ballot. They're a real live person that may even live next door to me. But it's all about the one-on-one communication. And it's starting to lack. It's there, but it's starting to lack. We need people-to-people conversation and real people. There's a lot of pay-to-play politics going on, which I have seen firsthand. Backroom deals and shady goings on. And, You have to call everything out, Arch. And just, like I said, talk to people. It's the one-on-one communication. Let them see, even if one of my volunteers or myself would go out, let them say, hey, we're not so hard to talk to. We're a real person. This is what's going on. This is what's going on in your neighborhood. This could be your candidate running for office next door. We don't care who it is. If you're doing something wrong, you're going to be called out. Fair but firm. And I always say, never reward a bad politician for bad behavior.
Do we have any good politicians?
We have very few. I know of a few, get that again, a few local candidates that are good, but they're far and few in between. And many have just got voted out of office because they were so honest. Oh, you can't have somebody honest. You're not taking my bribes. You're not taking my hundreds of thousands of dollars for the endorsement or whatever. I could go on and on about that because they're honest and transparent. And the politicians have to be moral. They have to have integrity and stick to their principle. And you could go far, but everybody's just fallen into the pay-to-play scheme. And whoever has the biggest pocketbook will get the endorsement and so on and so forth. And whatever just happened to, hey, this is my platform. This is what I'm going to do for you when I take that particular seat of office. Not even saying about the president following his agenda. Just this is what I'm going to do for you. And if I'm doing wrong, you'll come and knock on my door or have a protest in front of my office. And that's just personal communication and how people can get involved at a local level. One-on-one.
A lot of our politicians have realized that they don't need to be held accountable.
Exactly.
Because people aren't really paying attention.
They're not. People aren't paying attention. They'll do what they're told to do. Whatever the leader in said party tells them to do, they'll do it because it's easier. And I used the word complacent before. They are complacent. Oh, well, it's easier. He must be right. Well, what about your own research? Do it.
How did you get people to be involved in the organization? Because that's a lot of work to go door to door. What did you do to get support for your organization to be able to do that?
We used to go to different towns and right in the middle of the so-called town square or whatever you want to call it, we would hold a press conference. We'd go up to perfect strangers. Hey, I'm so-and-so. This is what we do. Social media was the main thing. We got on different local radio stations, and sometimes when we held events, TV stations were there, and we always threw the name out there. Name recognition is phenomenal. Name recognition, name recognition, name recognition.
Unfortunately, listeners, we are up against the time for this segment. Jane, we want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Listeners, we're going to continue on in our next show, and we want to talk about those open primaries. So, Jane,
okay.
Thank you for coming in and sharing. Remember, listeners, your voice does matter. On a local level, please begin to get actively involved in our local politics.
Absolutely.
This is WFYL 1180, working for your freedom.